My name is Natasha Brady, the vicar of Stoke Poges Church, and welcome to this family service. Today, as the sun tries to peek out and the rain refreshes the earth, we come together and worship God with gladness, come into his presence and sing his praises. Hopefully, you've downloaded the PDF service sheet already. If not, please do so now. And where you see words in bold, please do join in with them. As we come into this place of worship, I just have a few notices for you. First of all, thank you to all of you who've joined and are continuing to pray for our online Alpha course. It is now full, praise God. So please keep praying for those leading and attending that God's redeeming grace will pour out on them. Secondly, baby steps. It's on a Tuesday morning starting at 10 a.m, a group for parents and little babies. It's growing, but there's still space for a few more, so do come along if you've had a baby in lockdown. It's proving to be a wonderful place to connect, to share stories, as well as listen to them. And the babies are enjoying socialising and joining in with the stories and songs, all themed around one short Bible story. And finally, Remembrance Sunday, the 8th of September. We are working hard on making this happen. Risk assessments are being done, volunteers roped in, but it is happening on Bells Hill, followed by our service at St Giles. So keep an eye on the website for more info once we have it. It won't be long now. Shall we come and meet with God? Let's begin in prayer. Lord God, faithful and loving, we do not always feel like rejoicing. Even as we gather to worship you, our minds sometimes distracted and elsewhere, weighed down by the burdens of our lives. Help us in this moment to find it within our hearts to rejoice in your constancy and loving care for us. People of God, let us rejoice. Amen. This week, our music has been curated by Janet Cottrell, so thank you, Janet, for these wonderful hymns and songs of praise. We shall now sing two songs, Tell Out My Soul and Before the Throne of God Above.
Thank you.
I don't know what kind of week you've had. I'm sure it's been full of all sorts of things. But as our Bible passage this week tells us, God longs that we strive to do whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Yet that might not have been what actually happened. Therefore, now is the time to get rid of all that is the opposite of those things. Proffer them to God humbly and say sorry. So if you need to pause the podcast for a moment and reflect, do so. And when you're ready to join us again, let us pray this prayer of confession, joining in with the words in bold. Eternal God, so often we give up if something goes wrong or doesn't go our way. So often we are overwhelmed by our own problems that we forget to look out for others. So often we are consumed with negatives and endings that we lose sight of the positives and beginnings. Eternal God, forgive us for our self-centeredness, our blindness and our deafness, and reawaken your spirit within us. Amen. Our reading is being said today by one of our 7UP members, Oliver. Thank you for doing this, Oliver. And then Nigel will be opening God's word in the sermon. So over to you both now.
Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Cinche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, Help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose name are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Will you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's reading is from the final chapter of Paul's letter to the church he had established in Philippi. Now just imagine for a moment that Natasha stood up in church one Sunday and announced, "I have received an email from Archbishop Justin Welby, and it's addressed exclusively to our little church here in Stoke Poges. So let me read it to you." I think we can all agree that she would have had our undivided attention. And if what she read was almost word for word a repeat of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and as she got towards the end, we heard these words, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." Beautiful words. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." What I would like us all to consider is this. How would each one of us react to that sort of ringing endorsement of us, you and me, our Stoke Poges church family? Would any of you feel really comfortable or deserving of such high praise as Natasha read these words? Words from one of the most senior people in the church? I'm not sure I would. Especially when we consider the horrible persecution the Christians in Philippi were having to deal with. Things like being thrown to the lions for entertainment, or quite unbelievably used as human torches for Nero's dinner parties. Yet despite the awful circumstances they were having to endure, they still somehow managed to hold firmly to their faith. I wonder if my faith would be strong enough. If faced with that sort of challenge, could I stand firm? How about you? How strong is your faith? Could you stand firm? You know, when we consider what we have to contend with, is at worst a bit of ridicule, scorn, or indifference. And far from being persecuted by the authorities in this country, the state has actually passed laws to protect faith communities. Yet despite Jesus' words in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," sometimes known as the Great Commission, that's Jesus telling each one of us directly to share the gospel message. But how often do we shy away from talking about our faith, talking about our faith with people around us, never mind making disciples of all nations? Some claim that faith is a private matter. Well, sorry, but no. If it's real Christianity, it ain't private. To mean anything, it has to be shared. Dr. Billy Graham, when speaking at his big gatherings, often asked a simple but challenging questions. And he would introduce the question something on the lines of, "What about you? Are you a Christian? Do you trust Jesus? Are you following him? If so, if that's what you say about yourself, well then how many people know it? How many of your friends and co-workers, your family and neighbours, would look at you and say, why yes, he or she is a Christian? And then would come that famous question. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How would you answer? Of course, in this life, no one will ever be truly Christ-like. Even the church in Philippi had at least one disagreement, a disagreement serious enough for Paul to raise it in his letter, which was to be read aloud to everyone. But of course, Paul's motivation was to try to create peace. Even so, of all the churches Paul planted on his various missionary journeys, the Christians in Philippi give him the most satisfaction. They were, as he said, my joy and crown, my beloved. But let's consider the circumstances surrounding the writing of this letter. It was written by a man, Paul, who was locked up in prison, permanently shackled to a Roman guard, and not sure if he was going to live or die. And it was addressed to a group of sorely oppressed people, enduring horrendous persecution. Also not sure if they were going to live or die. Yet amazingly, this letter of Paul's is still regarded by many as the happiest book in the Bible. The happiest book in the Bible in those circumstances. Why? Well, I think what it tells us is that the real happiness does not depend on your circumstances. You see, both Paul and those Philippians were laying up for themselves treasures in heaven, where they'd be safe, safe from moths, rust, or thieves. And that's why Paul, as an encouragement to his beleaguered friends and also to us today, could write, beginning in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And in order to show how important he believes this advice to be, continues, "I will say again, rejoice." What great advice for all Christians that we should always praise God. Because after all, deep down we should know, we do know, that all things, no matter how unpleasant it may seem, all things work together for good to them that love God. And the shining example of that? Jesus, the innocent man, was murdered, was crucified. But that conspired together for the good of all mankind. Paul continues in verse 5, "Let your gentleness be evident to all," reminding us again that we are not alone, because the Lord is near. And in verse 6, we're advised not to worry. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." No matter what befalls us, we should always trust God. And Paul sums up verses 4, 5 and 6 with a promise in verse 7. The promise is that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. Verse 8. We're all encouraged to concentrate our minds on good and worthwhile thoughts and ideas. Take our minds out of the gutter and look on loftier things. For we read, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And because Paul's life was exemplary, he was one of the few people who could confidently tell the Philippians and all of us, do as I say and do as I do. Many people say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. But Paul could say, do as I say and do as I do. Continue, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So there we have it, folks. Paul's message, to quote an old country and western song, is not promising us a rose garden, or for that matter, a life always on easy street. Now, what's on offer is the promise that if we really have put our faith, our trust in God, our Heavenly Father, then we are assured of His peace being with us all the way, through the good times and the bad, the happy days and the sad days. Now, when I started this talk, I asked, would anyone have felt comfortable being praised in the way Paul addressed his people in Philippi? And I suggested that perhaps that might be a little over the top. But I also tried to point out that all would-be followers of Jesus are going to struggle, both as individuals and collectively as a church, and we could all do better. So can I encourage all of us to take encouragement from the example set by our brothers and sisters all those years ago in that little Roman outpost of Philippi? And let's resolve both individually and collectively to be more united in spirit and determined to do better, following our calling, boldly representing Jesus, and sharing His good news. After all, it's the only really good news there is. So that those who know us and see us will be in no doubt that we are followers of Jesus. Christians, guilty as charged. Amen.
Thank you, Nigel. Words to ponder on and chew over. The Bible passage spoke of names being written in a book, and that's a concept that's been thought about and been the subject of many a pearly gate joke or meme, with punchlines like, oh, your name's not down, so you're not coming in, with some sort of disciple type figure acting like God's bouncer at the entrance to heaven. But God knows each of us by name. And He has written His name on our hearts by faith when we come and say, I believe and trust in You, Lord. Yet God longs for more and more people to come into His kingdom. So now, in response to this longing, and knowing that Father God desires for us to not be fearful, anxious, or stand alone, we're going to do this activity, known and named. If you haven't done so already, go and get a strip of paper and a pair of scissors. Now, if you're too young to be using sharp objects unsupervised, do this with your parent or caregiver. And following the instructions on the service sheet, make a string of paper people. Do it while the next song is being sung over you. It's going to be The Lord's My Shepherd. And on the back of each little person, write the name of someone you know personally, whom you'd like to know Jesus as you do, and become a Christian. Then keep those people safe, and each day pray for your known and named people, giving thanks for them and rejoicing that God wants to know them too. Right, let's get cutting and singing The Lord's My Shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. Guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will
the Creed. If you want to, please stand where you are as we say these words together. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now over to Pat Hegarty as she leads us in our intercessions.
Lord Jesus, in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son Jesus Christ to hear us when we pray in faith. Welcome, you Spirit of God, you who seek our company and choose to make yourself known to us. Lift up our eyes towards you as we worship and give you thanks and praise. Help us to follow more closely in your footsteps, that we may reflect in our own lives the love and obedience which you have shown us in yours. Help us to see beyond our limit to a more wider view of your glorious kingdom. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Lord Jesus, God of all brightness, illuminate our lives with the light that cannot be extinguished, and fill our hearts with the love that conquers all darkness. Your love helps us to remember that you are always there for us in good times as well as bad. Keep us tuned into your presence so that we may know your power and your peace. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Make us your church into the people you want us to be, and forgive us when we fall short. Teach us to be generous in judgment, bold in commitment, sensitive in listening. Where we find no love, let us bring love and make us more like you. Father, draw near to all those who are seeking after you, for those recognizing your presence for the first time. Teach us as your disciples to point them to you, Jesus, through the leading of your Holy Spirit. And may they find in us a community who love them for who they are. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Father, we pray for Natasha. Hold her close through this coming week. We ask the Lord's blessing upon the church wardens and all the PCC members, church leaders and others who serve this church in a voluntary capacity, who together build up our community of Christ. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for more support for traumatized young people living in Lebanon. Due to the explosions, nearly 8,000 children have lost their homes and many have nightmares and flashbacks. Not something any human should have to live with. The Christian support team said every time we pray for them or send a donation, we are strengthening them in their mission to care for those vulnerable members of our community. We also pray for Embrace, who gives support to families affected by the latest disaster. When we see devastating images of war and hear the inconsolable cries of those who've lost homes, livelihoods, and loved ones, in the face of so much suffering and despair, when we love the Lord and when he has broken our hearts for the things that break his, he is able to use us so that we can reach out with our hands to our brothers and sisters. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for those in special needs. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray and remember the sick and those in need in our community, and we call out their names. Val, Tony, Michelle and Paige. Jesus taught us to call God our Father, and so in faith and trust we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This week is the 18th Sunday after Trinity. Therefore, our collect this week is this. Let's pray. Gracious God, you call us to fullness of life. Deliver us from unbelief and banish our anxieties with the liberating love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are coming to the end of our family worship time together, but let us sing one last song, led by a virtual choir, In Christ Alone. La, 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 la.
Here in the power of Christ, I stand.
And now to our final prayer. Let's pray. We go our separate ways, Lord, perhaps with smiles or frowns, with our hopes and with our fears, with answers but also questions, maybe crying and with heavy hearts, or with anxieties or relief. We go our separate ways, Lord, but we never go alone. With thankful hearts, we share the journey of life with each other and with you. Be with us as we go. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember that there are face-to-face services if you're ready to join us. They are 9 o'clock at St Giles on a Sunday morning, 4 p.m. at St Andrew's, and then midweek at 11 a.m. in the St Andrew's Chapel. Keep safe and God bless.